welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We are kind of having an episode because different stools. You're only as smart as the stool you're sitting on. Make them the right
nice.
Height. They're not far enough. Hey, now you made it. Now you made it yucky.
Yeah, I did.
What the heck? Yeah,
I did.
Bill. Can't take you anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And that was Bill who said that earlier. I just want you to know I meant furniture. I was talking furniture.
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right off I-5. Go by and see him if you're looking for a tractor, a mower, any kind of an attachment. They got it all. They have a full service department. They can fix pretty much anything you have. Go by and see him or call him at 226-9226.
Can I fix this stool?
What?
Can I fix this stool?
No, I like this stool. It's got a lot of swivel to it.
So pretty much anything you have that looks like a tractor.
This is like a ride.
It is, too.
Yeah, so go by and see him or get him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yep, there we go.
And you, let's see, use guys at home. What? Robert's telling me something. By Sovereign Minds, people.
The stool.
The stool. Everybody's coming and going. We're coming and going. It's a busy.
Lots going on.
It's a busy place here today.
Very busy place.
Show before us apparently played some clips out of a Board of Supervisors meeting that included some F-bombs and Ashley got to learn all about what happens when you push the button that blocks that out, because I guess if you do it a few times, then it stops the delay, and then you just get the F, and then you get the thing. And
it doesn't work.
So, you know, Ashley, before you take that really heavy medication, you know, we're going to be good this hour.
I appreciate it.
We're not going to probably
We probably won't drop any F-bombs.
We're probably not going to have any F-bombs, because we're not going to play any idiot little socialists.
Well, I don't know. William gets a little worked up, though.
Yeah, William gets worked up, but he's from Canada. They don't F-bomb.
No, that's
They're
true.
They're way too nice
that's
in Canada.
That's true.
Haven't you ever watched their police shows? They drive their drunks home.
They do.
We're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're like, come on, we know you just been drinking a little too much. Get in the car, you know, and I'm like, what?
Huh?
That was my best Canadian accent, by the way.
That sounded like a youper, but
yeah, they're never letting me in, but you're obviously foreign. Oh, my goodness. So, just in case you were curious, you could find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got archives that stretch back to like October-ish of 2010. Woo-hoo! We're coming up on a decade. Those archives actually are free of charge to listen to. They're all MP3 files with all the commercials cut out. So save you a little bit of time listening to it that way. We've got listeners all over the world. And thanks for that, listeners all over the world. Give you a little holleruski. I don't know who is in the lead. Last week, it was Singapore was in the lead in the entire world. Most listeners were in Singapore.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
God bless them.
What happened to
Nobody
our local
love the people
folks?
In Singapore?
Nobody local?
Well, we can't tell if they're local. You can only see the country.
Oh,
so you
okay.
can see the country. And so anyway, that's just always interesting to me to take a look and see who's accessing the website. So you can post this show to like your Facebook and all that kind of stuff just directly from the page. Today would be August the 30th, 2020. Yeah, I flipped a page last week, so now I'm 59 for real, not like the fake 59 because you're really 60, so you say you're 59. No, really 59, but it is kind of weird, like, ooh, creeping up on 60. That's kind of odd. It sounds so senior citizen-y, but see, like, they changed senior citizen
You'll
to
be
50,
all right.
55, so.
You'll be okay.
Yeah, I got Bill. He's older than I am all the time. I'm never catching up.
No, you're never
That's
catching
my goal,
up.
Never catching up. Okay, let's see. Oh, the United States is back in the lead. Oh, Nigeria's in second place. Singapore's in third. Well, isn't that odd? Hi, folks in Nigeria. I guess we should say hi to the people who are listening. So, anyway, today, you're going to actually get some facts. I know this is going to probably blow the narrative for pretty much everything we hear all the time, but the title of William Kay's articles, and there are three of them, and I've posted them, they are Black Lives Matter, the Ford Foundation, and the Black Movement Oligarchy. And there's a part one, a part two, and a part three.
Yeah.
And I posted those all for you. I'm in the process of switching those to PDF files if you're actually looking at it in real time. They are Word files at the moment, and some people don't have Word. So as a courtesy, I will be swiftly converting those to PDF for you and reposting. But I think it's about time we got some, you know, actual facts out here. It's fun, like his subtitle, I think it is, The Black Movement, Oligarchy, and the Tactical Riot is the first one. And then we have the Black Lives Matter, July 2013 to July 2020. And then the third part is the Ford Foundation and the Black Movement. So we have a lot to learn today. And I would say discuss, but mostly we're just going to learn. And William's going to educate us. So Mr. K comes from Canada. He lives in Canada, actually, in Alberta. And he used to be a radio guy until, but see, his website that I really like, that's kind of how we, quote, met. Environmentalism is Fascism is the title of his thing, and it's ecofascism.com. So ecofascism, since we know the anarchists aren't really good at spelling, and they write fascism a lot, but I've seen a variety of spellings. So ecofascism, spelled the correct way, .com, is his website. And he has really delved into the similarities between environmentalism and fascism, which is kind of how we got going. And then, anyway, he's got research on everything. We did a really good show with him like a month ago, maybe a little longer, on the rest home issue with the coronavirus and how the rest homes magically became so, I don't know.
Contaminated.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say explosive, but, you know, why it took off so much in that. We've also done some previous shows on, population reduction, all sorts of stuff. He's a wealth of information and always does his homework. So I will actually post those links pretty swiftly here because I'm behind. I didn't put the last couple on, but they're on the page here for August 30th, 2020 at wethepeopleradio.us. So, Mr. K, we've got a few minutes until our first obligatory celebration of, what is it, free enterprise. We're not allowed to call it capitalism anymore because that's a communist word. So it's a free enterprise, and we're terribly sorry for calling it capitalism in the past. We retract that.
I don't.
Bill. Bill, you difficult. But you couldn't work the stool either, so what do you know?
Yeah, whatever.
You'll be happy in socialism. Nothing works there either. So, where would you like to start?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I'm on?
You?
Okay.
You're on, William. Thanks for joining us.
We've got William call me Bill, and we've got William call me William.
Well, it's kind of funny. You mentioned the F-bomb thing. I was hoping to use the F-bomb in the first paragraph here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ashley just seized up and fell off her chair.
Here's a skill testing question.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the NFAC, the Not F-Bomb Around Coalition?
No. Is there such a thing? Ashley just joined.
Neither of you?
Not F-Bomb
okay.
What? Not F-Bomb?
Can I actually use the word? Or NFAC stands for Not Effing Around Coalition.
Huh. Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
No, still not familiar with it.
Well, I encourage the millions out there, the Singaporeans and the Nigerians,
yes,
to Google NFAC and then put the word either Stone Mountain or Louisville beside it.
Really?
And you will get certain YouTubes, which if you're not familiar with this group, will absolutely blow your mind.
Oh.
It's a massive black militia along the East Coast.
Yeah, the first thing that pops up is NFAC militia.
Yeah, Google video that; it'll blow your mind.
Now, is that the same militia that shot one of their own people here not too long ago?
They're in their second rally in Louisville. One of their marksmen dropped a shotgun and shot three of their other members. Yeah,
right. Okay.
They're that good. But anyway, I want to start with
the M in
a
militia,
metaphor.
Huh?
I want to start with a metaphor.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Maybe.
Imagine you had a neighbor who was a loner. You never saw him doing much. But every now and then, in the middle of the night, you would hear this just screaming and throwing furniture. So you concluded the person was somewhat insane. Then you realize that the loner is not, in fact, living alone. That there are other people in that house. And what you're hearing is actually a physical fight going on. And then you conclude, well, he's not so crazy. He's just got issues with these roommates. That is how you understand the black movement. And I'm, by black movement, I'm not referring to Black Lives Matter. That is a subsidiary or one organization in a much larger social movement. But the movement itself is very deeply divided. There's the Ford Foundation crowd, the philanthropic crowd, and 2,000 little NGOs, large and small, you know, from the NAACP, you know, on down to various fringe groups.
Okay.
That's one section of the movement. There's another section of the movement which doesn't get any money, and that includes, there's three different Black Panthers. There's this new sort of monster militia on the East Coast called the NFAC. I just really encourage people to look at some of these videos, because this is, it's the largest militia in the States right now, and it seems to have come out of nowhere. But the operative word in the their name, the NFAC, is coalition. And they never really present exactly who is in this coalition. The only member organization that has come forward and said, we are part of this coalition, is another one of these groups is called the Black Riders Liberation Party. And you might want to visit their Facebook page. And once again, this is clearly a group that's on the extreme left. And they're, once again, heavily armed, all black groups, all black members, what have you. So in order to understand, you know, the black movement and the role that some of these philanthropies are playing, you really have to understand that this is a movement that is profoundly divided. And there is a section of this movement which appears to be going right off the rails right now. And Black Lives Matter is sort of straddling this. They are, on one hand, encouraging rioting, encouraging all sorts of direct action and militancy in the street sort of violence. But they are getting money from the elite groups, from the Ford Foundation, etc.
Yeah, that's, I think that's what a lot of folks are... concerned about is the funding and how large and how fast they're growing.
That's what we're going to have you detail for us. We're going to come right back, though. We actually do have to celebrate Free Enterprise here.
Yep.
We're 2 minutes late on our Free Enterprise, but you know what? It's still there. Thank goodness Communist Bill didn't kill it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we'll be fixing the seating devices, a.k.a. stools and microphones. Be right back.
Your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we do about them?
So we might not be able to play that song anymore because apparently only a fraction of the people really died from the actual virus. I guess the CDC has split out the number of people who really died from the virus and the number of people who died with the virus. And it's what, like, what'd you say, Robert?
9,000.
Like 9,000 people or something. So go figure. Oh, 6%. Thanks, Ashley. Be my brains today. Yeah, only 6% of the people actually died from the virus. The other people died with the virus. Well, makes me happy. I've never worn a mask. Not that I could, but if I could, I'm glad I didn't. That makes no sense. But anyway, back to you. Back to you, William.
Okay.
I know, right? Really,
where were we?
Really, what else could you say?
Oh, we were talking about the splinter groups and the financing of the Black Lives Matter.
Well, let's talk about Black Lives Matter, okay?
Okay.
Now, what the key feature of it was sort of an offshoot of an existing movement. It wasn't as though this was a brand new thing. The core organizers and many of the rank and file people that participated in the mobilizations in Ferguson were already employees of the movement, or sort of part-time fringe employees of the movement. It wasn't something that came, you know, a whole cloth out of the new. It was viewed more like sort of a rebellion of the clerks. Within these little NGOs, you've got a lot of people who are struggling on movement wages, and you've got a lot of other people at the top who are making over $1 million a year. And this was a rebellion of the clerks, of a lot of the people who had these jobs working at various black movement NGOs. They went off on their own. They started organizing these rides to Ferguson. Turned into a big riot. A lot of the people who had driven or went on these caravans to Ferguson, when they returned, and this is 2013, when they returned, they started forming Black Lives Matter chapter.
Hey.
Then, you know, the leaders of the black movement, you know, the Ford Foundation crowd, etc., they moved in to fully co-opt this. And in that process, there was a major split. And three or four of the Black Lives Matter chapters, the one in New York, the one in Cincinnati, and a few others, they split off. And they weren't going to get any funding from the Ford Foundation because they were too radical. And it's not just the Ford Foundation, but I'm guessing the Ford Foundation, in terms of money coming down from philanthropists to the black movement, they're over 50% of it in the United States. They were giving well over $100 million a year to the black movement before Ferguson and before George Floyd. And they've ramped that up considerably since then. But there's a bunch of other philanthropies that do give some money, and more are piling on now. They're running something of a protection racket, you know, sort of good cop, bad cop sort of thing. There's the good black movement and there's the bad black movement. And the Ford Foundation's pitch has always been, as with Jesse Jackson and the other guys, you know, if you don't give money to us, these bad black radicals are going to take the center stage. Hmm. And they've been sort of playing that game for some time.
But there doesn't seem to be any cohesion there. I mean, it doesn't matter if you, I mean, look at the politicians that have supported this movement. Now they're being attacked. So it doesn't really seem to matter, does it? Whether you support them or not, they're going after everybody.
They are very divided. There is, like, within the movement, sections, you know, they're implacable. You are not going to buy these people out. If you give them money, they're going to buy weapons with it. They are that far down the road.
Sure.
And that applies to their allies within the anarchist movement. These are genuine revolutionaries that are really bent on that NFC coalition. They are quasi-black nationalists. They are explicitly talking about breaking off chunks of America and creating black homelands.
Hmm.
And they're marching now in groups of 500, 700 fully armed. And that is their line. I don't know how, there's really a lot of radical leftists in there, but it's hard to separate them out from just flat-out black racist groups. Like the Black Panthers, there's multiple Black Panthers, some of which are just, you know, there's no mention of anything other than sort of basically racial hatred. So there's a division, again, within that movement. But there's also this radical left in there, and they are heavily armed.
So what part of the movement is behind the rioting and the looting and... In some of these major cities now, like Portland?
What the Ford Foundation and the official Black Lives Movement crowd want, they want little boutique riots, right? they want their employees to go out there and block a highway, distribute some liquor, you know, rocks and what have you, and have a little sort of, you know, blowout enough to make the news, etc. But they are sort of unleashing something, because other groups are coming into this now, and they have a far more radical agenda, and they're also capable of far greater violence. So it's a bit of a Frankenstein's monster effect is taking over. Whereas the big money, the Ford Foundation, and the people that are sort of connected with the philanthropic circles around in New York, yeah, they want these little boutique riots. They want mayhem running up to the election so that Trump looks bad, etc. But this has already gone so far past what they had planned.
Oh, sure.
There's another, you know, the looting is becoming increasingly organized. And one starts to wonder if they are not systematically marshaling resources through the looting. It's quite possible there's still, you know, 101 petty acts of violence and all the money is going into liquor and drugs. But there's another possibility that, like, certainly there was an event in Chicago about a month ago, where it was so obviously a sham. Like they distributed this information on social media that someone had been shot. It was a lie. And then 100 stores got looted. There, you know, umpteen stores got looted. And people underestimate how lucrative a crime that can be. Now, a lot of these stores have got, you know, $500,000 in merchandise sitting in them. So if, there's a possibility that some of these groups, and I've uncovered about a dozen groups that I think are like genuinely over-the-top armed revolutionary groups that are getting involved in this looting process. And these groups like Black, the Riders Liberation Party and the Revolutionary Black Panther, these are poor groups. Most of their members are on welfare. Most of their members have menial jobs or they're students and what have you. They do not have any resources. And the elites within the black movement make sure those groups don't get any resources. What you saw in New York, you know, the New York chapter of the Black Lives Matter was the biggest, but they have been completely cut off and excluded from the money for sure. So they've created a new group called Black Ops. And once again, if you look at their website, these are radical groups. These are the ones that are marching, you know, kill the cops sort of thing. They're out there. And of course, the Ford Foundation doesn't want anything to do with that. They don't want anything to do with the civil or criminal liabilities that encounter with giving monies to groups which are, you know, burning buildings down. So what they want are like a little bit of mayhem, a little bit of rioting, but there's this other movement that's moving out, or a sub-movement that's moving into that and taking advantage of that. And that is why it is getting so dangerous.
And how do they, the general public looks at this and they see the looting and the violence and the shootings and they see Black Lives Matter. They don't see these subgroups, so they're getting labeled as the folks responsible for this. How does outfits like the Ford Foundation distance themselves from that?
Through intermediaries and through flow-throughs primarily. And this was a tactic that was developed by the environmental movement on the West Coast. You recall there was the Ruckus Society and there was Earth First, and a lot of these terrorist groups, they used to be the main terrorist body in the United States, were these Ofra Green groups. But there was a very calculated way where they would be double arm's length. Like, you know, the big foundations would give money to groups, they would give money to groups, they would trickle money to groups. So they were financed. You got people like Dave Foreman and that, they were flat out terrorists, multiple bombings to his record. Now he practically runs the National Wildlife Federation. He's now backing with Big Green again. So they practice this art. You saw they were also with the Native movement in Canada. You know, I know some of these people personally, like the Bronx and that. They were putting money to that. But, you know, they're very careful. They do not, under any circumstances, want the civil liabilities that attach to doing what you're doing, like destroying people's businesses
right.
and burning buildings down. Yeah, you know, you can get sued for that, right?
Well,
so they're very careful of making this a sort of a double arm's length thing.
It's kind of interesting, though, that, you know, initially in the introduction, it's like, well, I guess we should tell people that, you know, you started in the green movement, but now we're going to veer into another lane. It's like, oh, no, we're not. We're just going to expand that. I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
I guess we can't distance ourselves either from the stupid animal rights people, because when you're too crazy for the environmental movement, you now move to animal rights. So apparently now you got options. If you're too crazy for the environmental movement, you move into the fake Black Lives, whatever your thing is, whatever zone of that. Or you can go to the animal rights. You've got choices now. Maybe you have allergies.
I'm really,
you know, maybe like
that.
Me, if I get extreme, I can go. I can burn stuff down rather than hang out with animals. Oh, my God. We have to take a really quick break so I can take my medication. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Throw some bricks.
Yeah.
A frozen water bottle.
Umbrellas.
Oh, umbrellas. The new weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the Beatles Revolution, did they have umbrellas? Probably not.
No, I don't think they had leaf blowers either.
Oh, yeah, that's leaf blowers. I forgot about that. They're using leaf blowers.
Yeah. Oh,
Lord.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Back to where we were, William.
Yes, back.
Before we diverged into silliness again.
Okay, one point, and then we're going to hopefully get back to the chronology.
Oh, sorry. Bill, it's your fault.
That one of the key figures in Black Lives Movement, when they were fully co-opted again by the big philanthropies, by the Ford Foundation, was that Kaylee Scales. And she was sort of a lifelong Democratic Party fundraiser. She's black, but, you know, she knows the Swedish royal family. And, you know, she's clearly she's married to a very wealthy white man as well, as are a lot of these black oligarchic leaders. They're almost all married white if they're not gay. But she, unbeknownst to me, she's just been fired recently. She was the leader of the official Black Lives Matter Global Fund. And preparing for the show today, I went to their website, and she is now gone. She is now the former one. And they've replaced her with Patrice Couleurs. And that appears to be a shift towards the street again. Because Kaylee Scales was clearly a global elite type, although she was black. And she's been replaced by Patrice Couleurs, who's far more, you know, up through the rank and file, a Black Lives Matter activist sort of thing. So I think that's a shift towards radicalism again. Something clearly happened there. There was a palace coup within BLM, and it shifted apparently far more to the street again. So I think we're in. This must have happened just in the last couple of weeks. So I think we're in for even more fireworks with that change. But back to the sort of the basic chronology. So BLM was around for 4 or 5 years, but gradually shrinking under the management of Kaylee Scales and the Ford Foundation, et cetera. It was actually shrinking. The number of chapters were getting smaller, and their activities were less volatile. And that suddenly changed, and this was obviously orchestrated on May the 20th. And I specifically recall the sequence of events. Around May 20th, they fire up the Breonna Taylor complaint. She was the one killed in the no-knock warrant.
Mm-hmm.
But that had happened some time before. And they were dormant. This whole COVID thing was going on. And then suddenly they fired up that campaign again. They're in the streets, causing disturbances. And then we have the George Floyd. And then, of course, all heck broke loose then. But it speaks to how social movements harvest grievances. You know, yes, there is police brutality in America. Yes, there are wrongful police shootings in America. That is not something new. And yes, blacks have historically faced discrimination and prejudice at the hands of law enforcement and the criminal justice system. These are not new things. But it's sort of like air pollution. Air pollution, urban air pollution, is not a new thing. A medieval city was a very smoky, dusty place. Air pollution is, in fact, an old problem that is getting better and better. The same applies to the treatment of African Americans by the criminal justice system. It has always been a problem. And as a matter of fact, it's been improving. It's not nearly as bad as it was, say, 40 years ago in the Deep South. So, yes, there is a grievance there. But let us not pretend that this is something that just happened 5 years ago and it's suddenly getting worse and worse. Right now in the USA, you can pretty well predict that there's going to be about 200 blacks killed by the police every year. Between now and the election, there's going to be 40 more blacks killed by the police just in the normal grind. Far more whites get killed by the police, but it is true that blacks are disproportionately represented in that group. They never really factor in sort of economic circumstances and things like that, which would really change the dynamic. But this is the way social movements operate. They can guarantee that there are going to be some pretty sketchy shootings of blacks occurring on a fairly regular basis. So every time it happens, they're going to go berserk. And that's why this is becoming increasingly dangerous. You can guarantee, just with this Jacob Blake person, and others. This is going to happen like on a steady basis. There's going to be a drumbeat. There's going to be one in a couple of weeks. There's going to be one a week after that. So this is escalating. But it's not as though, again, this is how social movements want to be. You harvest a grievance. It's a pre-existing phenomenon, and you've decided to make some hay out of it. And particularly the sort of the big money within the black movement, they know how to use these protests and what have you to pressure other philanthropies for more money, to pressure governments for more money, to pressure philanthropies and universities to hire more blacks. That's what they have in mind. The elite of the black movement aren't interested in eliminating privilege. They're interested in getting privilege unto themselves. So that phenomenon is going on alongside you have this sort of authentic far-left or far-race, black-racist movement that are also moving into the same area. And what you saw, what I tried to point out in these essays is that the elite, you know, the Ford Foundation crowd, which is a black-dominated group, six of the trustees are black, they can step on the gas whenever they want. It's simply a matter of them giving a lot more money to groups that they know are going to agitate and propagate around certain issues. And it seems to me fairly obviously that May the 20th was the run-up to the U.S. election. And they, because they are one and all Democratic Party supporters, they had a plan that they were going to ramp this up. You know, it wasn't as though we got to sit around. Actually, they didn't. They started reviving the Breonna Taylor one, and then they were blessed with the George Floyd situation. But they knew that they could predict that there's going to be a number of black shootings of blacks, and that they can now pump a lot of money into this, and they can escalate things a lot. So there's that's part of the picture, that they were ramping this up in preparation for the U.S. election. And it's working fairly well, but I can't help but believe that it is getting away from them, that there are aspects of this that really smart people in New York did not anticipate, and that they have to some degree lost control of the situation. They really weren't anticipating it. The Pacific Northwest anarchist movement is an authentic phenomenon. It has an agency unto itself. I don't think they were really predicting that those people would embrace the cause the way that they do. And I'm sure half the fires that are being set during these riots are being set by a handful of people from the Pacific Northwest anarchist community are doing it. And that really isn't something I think that the trustees of the Ford Foundation factored in at all. Now, this is becoming a lot more violent, especially in places like Seattle and Portland. And I lived in British Columbia for a long time, lower mainland. I was, you know, intermittently interacting with all manner of people, including the radical left and the anarchist community. And I know that's a huge movement in the Pacific Northwest. You know, they're wacky, they're anti-industrial, they're, you know, primitivist, what have you. But they are, you know, in large numbers, and they are true believers. And they have picked up the action quite a bit, too. It's a, you see it a lot. And back to the point about, you know, the environmental movement, the most recent videos I saw out of Portland where they're occupying Wheeler's condo building, you know, that looks so obviously like an old environmental movement. They're all white. They were chaining themselves up. All of the stunts and tactics were just stereotypically sort of far eco-terrorist sort
of thing. It was indoor earth
first.
There's
not a black person there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but isn't it funny, though?
Your point of view, they're sort of shifting from one movement to another. Yeah, I'm seeing that. Like, a lot of these people, if this wasn't going on, they would be, you know, tying themselves to trees or, you know, tying themselves to bulldozers. They would be doing that. Now they are being shifted to another thing. Like, they can be moved around like toy soldiers, these people. So I'm seeing that a lot as well. But never underestimate that there is, in fact, you know, authentic movements out there, and there are authentic grievances out there. They can be harvested and manipulated and directed, but it's a huge mistake to say, well, there was no grievance here at all. No, there's a lot of people who are really suffering, and, you know, housing issues and poverty and things like that. These, too, can be harvested.
Well, isn't it interesting, though, that these guys, they want to do something. I mean, they're just going to do something, so they latch on to whatever flies by, and as long as the media makes sure that, well, like George Floyd apparently died from a fentanyl overdose. Huh, surprise, surprise. But we find that out months later. You know, the other guy had a big criminal record, the guy in Wisconsin. There's always a ton more information that comes out later, but the media makes sure to pump up the go ahead and light the fire story, and then you get the, you know, the people that are upset, the, you know, holding candles and walking down the street, they come as the prelude, mm-hmm. and the other guys are right behind him. I mean, it's, you don't even have to, you could plan for it.
Oh, yeah, it's the same sequence of events. I mean, you get the blast off right after it happens, the looting, the rioting, the mayhem, and then during the day you get the peaceful protest.
It just placeholds. It placeholds until, you know, because who was it that said, you know, you never hold a peaceful protest at night?
Well, yeah, that was one of the comments I heard the other day. Was
typically you start in the evening, and then as night falls,
right.
The other groups do. But yeah, they're clearly evidence in some of the Black Lives Matter protests. They're distributing alcohol.
Sure.
I mean, you get a bunch of people. Hey, Black Lives Matter. A lot of these black movement organizations, they go into poor neighborhoods. A lot of them do work with juvenile delinquents and other people caught up in the criminal justice system. So these people are on first name basis with hundreds of local people who have, you know, histories of criminal activity against property and what have you. So it's nothing for them to get a few hundred of these people at one location. And then, yeah, sure, and distribute the whiskey bottles and the rocks and what have you. Guaranteed you're going to have a riot.
Oh, sure.
And what you saw in fact, it would be like part of the anarchist cookbook. I mean, you know, just the booze up and riot technique. They give you little details of exactly how to do this. It's not rocket science, okay? Get a few hundred angry people together, you know, the whiskey, the rocks, and away you go, right?
It's worked for the Irish since the beginning of time. And that was like the hallmark of our clan. I think our little shield from way back has got a little rock on it.
The Irish would have taken over the world, so we'd be lucky.
I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, Martin Luther King never held a protest at night. And that's
exactly
that's where the trouble starts.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, bad. Bad to the bone.
All my wolves begin to howl. Wake me up, the time is now. Can you hear the drumming? There's a revolution coming.
Wide awake, the fever burns. Sweat it out.
But spoiler alert, we hope not. Okay. We're just playing the song because it has the right words in it, not because we want it to happen.
Hey, 2 points I forgot to mention.
Oh, dear.
Or I glossed over. I mentioned that there was this dispute between the official Black Lives Matter and their New York chapter. During that, there was an interesting interview with this, I think his name is Hawk Newson or something. He's the sort of head honcho of the radical Black Lives New York chapter that got booted out, which is now called Black Ops. But he made this comment that, you know, a lot of the employees of the black nonprofit societies show up at his rallies wearing masks. And there's a possibility that, you know, they could be, you know, another aspect of them losing control of it. I estimate there's probably 2,500, 3,000 blacks that are employed by nonprofit societies within the black movement. And these people, of course, would lose their jobs if they were ever seen, you know, at an NFAC event or at any one of these radical events. But a lot of them are going. And it's back to this revolt of the clerk thing. Like, I'm not so sure that the Ford Foundation trustees have really got the reins on this anymore, and that they're giving money to NGOs that are, in fact, supporting the far more extremist elements within the movement. A second point, I mentioned that May 2020 was this dividing point where BLM went from going smaller and smaller and tamer and tamer, and suddenly they stepped on the gas and they became far more militant again. At that time, they shifted their street demonstrations from the perimeters of cities. They were blocking some highways or doing stuff like that. They shifted it to right downtown where the retail districts were. And, of course, that was a go for the looting and what have you.
Sure.
So that was also part of the shift. But there was a clear, like something happened. Like some there was a preordained plan to really ratchet things up rapidly at May 2020. And it's clearly, you know, there's a crazy game of chicken going on down south of the border. You know, Trump's now going to go to Kenosha. Like, who is going to inflame this the most? Initially, it was pretty obviously that the Democratic Party were encouraging and motivating the rioters and the looters, what have you, up to a certain point. But now, Trump supporters and that, they're also now engaging in these provocations. And we're 2 months from the election. And I'm genuinely concerned that this may be the last election you guys are going to have.
Yeah, I think
keep escalating like this.
No, it is. It's escalating. And I kind of feel the same way. It's we've never had this much of a sustained rioting in our country. Although during the Vietnam War there was a lot of protests there, but it wasn't this looting and violent
clashes. Destruction.
Yeah, with the police. I mean, this is ramping up, and I think you're absolutely right. As more people are killed, it's more fuel for the fire, and I don't know what's gonna calm this thing down. I don't think anybody going to a city and having a talk is gonna do it. I think you've got major sports now playing a role in this, and I really think they're kind of fueling it. With Black Lives Matter has their own anthem. They're gonna play that. I mean, there's so many little hints they're giving the green light to this anarchy.
Destabilization.
Yep.
You know, it's to some degree, you know, I hate to say it, but chickens coming home to roost, because this is something that the American government, as you well know, has done to other societies, like this sort of other countries, this sort of destabilization tactic. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm seeing. I mean, the fact that they're going to do this mail-in ballot, and it's looking like it's going to be this nasty contested election in the first place, while at the same time you've got this ever-growing, you know, basically, what's morphing into a race war, except in the Pacific Northwest, there's these little white anarchist and Antifa types that are really showing some initiative there. But it's a highly unstable situation to begin with. And then you're going to have a guaranteed blowout for an election. They're not going to be able to pick a winner on election night. And there's going to be this, you know, it's going to be back, you know, Gore and Bush thing where months of counting pregnant chads and what have you in the thing. That's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
So you're going to have this nasty, protracted litigation, you know, back to the Supreme Court again and again sort of thing to determine election while this stuff keeps escalating. Mm-hmm. And that's, you talk about what's not appearing on the mass media. What's not appearing in the mass media is this NFAC coalition, those groups, crickets in the mass media. I mean, they're afraid to talk about those groups because it will only help them recruit. But that's a major factor, and there's probably 20 cities. Now, you guys are lucky. You are west of the Mississippi. There's now 20 cities east of the Mississippi that have black majorities, and some of them it's like 80%. If this really starts going sideways, I can see whole cities going right out of control. You had that autonomous zone in Seattle briefly.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 1,000. That's what your future is looking like. And really, I don't really see a way out of this. I firmly believe that some of your allies are behind this, that are promoting this, the Europeans. You have enemies out there that you don't even know, that would love to see, you know, America crash and burn. And I think they are fomenting this ways in ways that, in which that, you know, we're never going to be able to determine, you know, 40 years from now, historians will prove it beyond a doubt. But there are foreign powers, and it might not be the ones you suspect. I watch RT regularly, Russian television radio, and they are definitely trying to foment this, like, unmistakably. They are putting out a lot of sort of race hatred stuff. To read their comment column, it reads like 8chan now. It's just this relentless, vulgar, racist attacks, and they're letting this go, and they're running story after story that is doing nothing to foment it. But RT is a minor player. There are other forces at work and other countries at work. They're having a lot more influence on American society, and it looks to me like a sort of a destabilization plan, but, you know, never presume a conspiracy for anything which sheer stupidity might explain. And I'm seeing a lot of that as well, too. I mean, you have the black oligarchy. They're shoveling money at this, but, you know, this is the same old game they've been playing for a while. But I don't think these guys are that smart, and I don't think that they're in control of this situation. What I'm seeing there now, this is really dangerous. Once again, to Bill's point, this has not happened before. They've had some nasty rides in the past, but this is far more sustained, and the protest movement is far, far more heavily armed than ever before.
Yeah, see, that's the one element we've never had in this country before, short of the Civil War, is armed militias gearing up for, you know, that moment. And I unfortunately think it's going to happen. Something's gonna spark it, and you have all these people that are geared up, trained, ready to go. And we've never had that. I mean, we've had riots in the streets. We've had a lot of that in the past, but not like this. Not like this.
Well, and this is,
and the population is bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing I warn Americans about is avoid the sort of a knee jerk reaction to crush the protesters. Like, everyone's after Wheeler, you know, why don't you just round them all up? Be warned, there's a group out of Puget Sound called the John Brown Gun Club.
Oh, yeah.
And they are systematically arming Antifa and the anarchists of the North, the Pacific Northwest. So you think, oh, okay, we're just going to stomp on these guys. In a bat of an eyelash, you don't have 200 or 300 people with umbrellas and silly string. You've got 200 or 300 people with assault rifles.
Right.
In a bat of an eyelash, that could happen. And you are then going to lose control of large parts of these cities. So be wary about, you know, a knee-jerk, heavy-handed response to this. It might completely backfire. And, you know, there's sort of a mentality you get when you sort of go through some of the sort of the right-wing militias, that somehow you have to be a fat, bearded white guy to shoot a rifle, you know?
Exactly.
Not so. And,
not that we have anything against fat, bearded white guys. We've got to drop off here for the news break. You are listening to We the People Radio.us.